Hello, this is Johnny Mathis, and you're listening to the Music Journeys podcast.
Welcome to the Music Journeys podcast. I'm Mike Foley. I hope all of you are well and handling the effects of the coronavirus pandemic the best that you can. The staff at WCBE has been trying to maintain the programming listeners have come to expect, delivering the latest news from around the world and the state of Ohio, along with an eclectic mix of music and entertaining programs. For me, that's been on the news side, but I haven't forgotten about Music Journeys. Several interviews came through just before things changed so quickly with all the safety measures. I'm committed to bringing them to you because now more than ever, music has the ability to help get us through these days. Being able to view and hear so many artists, national and local, streaming their shows and thoughts has truly uplifted and inspired me. I hope to inspire and comfort you with the stories some musicians have shared with me. And we start the comeback with Johnny Mathis. Hard to find a more soothing, comforting voice. We spoke February 28th, and the podcast was to coincide with a new tour set to begin in Ohio last month. With the pandemic, those dates in Dayton and Cincinnati have been rescheduled for August. But I just couldn't wait that long to bring you his wonderful reflections on his early days, the big decision he had to make between music or a potential spot in the Olympics, his jazzy first record, the funky album he did with Nile Rodgers that finally got released a couple years ago. And of course, we had to talk about his timeless Christmas music. All that, and he took part in the Fast Five. Johnny Mathis, our featured guest on this edition of Music Journeys. Thanks for listening.
Hello, this is Johnny Mathis, and this is my music journey.
Chances are, 'cause I wear a silly grin, the moment you come into view. Chances are you think that I'm in love with you.
Chances Are became the first number one hit for Johnny Mathis in 1957, about a year after releasing his first album. He hasn't stopped recording and touring. Mathis has more than 80 albums. His greatest hits compilation in 1958 spent almost 10 years on the Billboard Top Albums chart. He's also had 50 hits on the adult contemporary charts.
And speaking just for me, it's ours to share. Perhaps the glow of love will grow with every passing day. Not for me to say.
The thing I marvel at all the time is that how many people know me as a singer. And it's very rewarding. I'm absolutely over the moon happy about it, but it is a responsibility. I've made some choices over the years. Most of them have been positive as far as my music is concerned. And I can still sing. I perform almost all the time, all over the world, really. And it's a blessing that I still marvel at.
I'm going home, going home. Tell someone.
The fourth of seven children, John Royce Mathis, was born in 1935 in Gilmer, Texas. About 5 years later, the family moved to San Francisco, where his music interests began to take shape. At 13, Mathis would spend the next 6 years finding his voice.
I had an opportunity to go to a lot of local places that had music, and fortunately, I met a woman who agreed to help me vocally. She was a voice teacher, and she taught me free of charge. I did household duties for her. I ran errands for her and cleaned her apartment. In between her paying students, her name was Connie Cox, and I owe all of my my beginnings and middles and ending to this wonderful lady who taught me vocal technique.
I'm aware of the treasure that I own, and I say to myself, it's wonderful, wonderful, oh, so wonderful, my love. And I say to myself, it's wonderful, wonderful, oh, so wonderful, my love.
It was a learning process, just like anything else. I had to learn certain things that would affect my voice. For instance, not too much screaming and yelling and that sort of thing. But they were fundamentally things that were pretty obvious to me, day-to-day activities and what have you. I was a pretty good athlete in school, so I was involved in athletics, which was good for my voice production. And things just sort of worked out for me at a very early age.
Mathis was better than pretty good in music and athletics. He set the high jump record while attending college at San Francisco State. Mathis also competed against eventual NBA star Bill Russell, and the two were listed as the top high jumpers in the Bay Area at the time. In 1955, Mathis also landed a job singing on the weekends at a local club, where a Columbia Records executive would see him perform. Mathis soon faced a decision that would shape his life.
I had an opportunity to go to the Olympic trials as a high jumper, which were being held at the University of California in Berkeley. But during the same week, as you would have it, I mean, it was just the most amazing thing. I got an opportunity to go to New York and make my first recording. So it was kind of a traumatic time for me, a young person. And my dad was my best pal, of course, and my dad was a singer. And, of course, we talked it over and agreed that I should forgo my high-jumping, escapades and go to New York and make my first recordings. Having my dad with me at that early age was really the biggest plus as far as I was concerned, being so very young.
You'd be so easy to love, so easy to idolize, all others above, so worth the yearning for, so swell to keep every home fire burning for.
Well, I was a jazzer. I was signed to Columbia Records by the head of jazz. His name was George Avakian. We went into the studio with a group of jazz musicians, and I sang in a manner that I had been accustomed to because I grew up around jazz clubs, and that was the thing that I felt was my calling. And then, of course, I got opportunities to do other things. So I ran around and made a couple of songs. One was called Wonderful, Wonderful, and the other one was called It's Not For Me To Say, and the other one was called Chances Are, The Twelfth of Never. And before I knew it, I was singing popular songs of the day, and that sort of ended up being my forte.
Walk my way, and a thousand violins begin to play. Or it might be the sound of your hello, that music I hear. I get misty the moment you're near.
Are you okay with that?
Very much so. I loved opera. Had an opportunity to meet some of the most wonderful opera singers in the world, and kept my focus not so much on what I sang, but how I sang it. And the vocal process is very similar no matter what you sing.
And it's over.
It's over.
Yes, it's over. The chips are down.
That duet with Denise Williams topped the charts in 1978. A few years later, Mathis had the opportunity to try something new with production help from Sheik's Nile Rodgers and Bernard Edwards.
And I was very fortunate to meet them, and they had a lot of success, but it was just a little bit over the line towards rhythm and blues. Maybe not so much blues, but rhythm. And they were absolutely just the most marvelous, wonderful, and loving people who loved my voice and wanted to take me in a direction that they did. And I loved what we did.
So go home.
The lost album from 1982 called I Love My Lady finally saw its rightful release in 2017.
Here when I say, I love my lady, I love my lady, I know I raise. Here when I say, I love my lady, I love my lady, my lady, let's go.
As Mathis embarks on his new tour celebrating 64 years in music, expect an eclectic set list.
I guess the thing that I'm most happy about is that when I sing in public, the people are really quite open as far as what I sing. I get an idea about what they would like to hear, talking to them. We always have little sessions after I sing where I meet and greet some of the people who would like to meet me. And I get an idea about what they like as far as my singing is concerned. And that helps me a great deal because I do have my own preferences, and sometimes they're okay, and sometimes I need to lean a little bit more towards what people would like to hear as opposed to what I want to sing.
What do you like to sing the most?
Everything. Anything. I'm very musically inclined. My dad sang all the time, and I think I've acquired his situation in that respect. I love all kinds of music, and from one performance to the next, I may sing a completely different lineup of songs, but the audience seems to enjoy it. Fortunately, the people are quite wonderful. They're still coming around in droves.
What also comes around every December are his timeless Christmas songs. Mathis has also been called the voice of Christmas. He's recorded 6 such albums, the first coming in 1958.
In the meadow we can build a snowman and pretend that he's a circus clown. We'll have lots of fun with Mr. Snowman until the other kiddies knock him down. When it snows, ain't it thrilling? Though your nose gets a chillin', we'll frolic and play the Eskimo way, walking in the winter wonderland, walking in the winter wonderland.
The next thing I wanted to do was sing some music for my mom and my dad. They raised 7 children on domestic wages in a very small house in San Francisco. We even had some relatives stay with us on occasions when they were passing through. And Christmas time was a big, big deal when you have a large family. And the first opportunity I got to have some say about what I recorded, I wanted to make some Christmas music for my mom and my dad. And fortunately, I was able to do that. And over the years, have extended that part of my recordings. I love singing Christmas songs. And I love that part of the year. I've been very, very fortunate with the success.
These wonderful things are the things we remember all through our lives. These wonderful things are the things we remember all through our lives. Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring, ting, tingling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Outside the snow is falling and friends are calling you. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, let's go, let's look at the show. We're riding in a wonderland of snow. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, it's grand, just holding your hand. We're gliding along with the song of a wintry fairyland. Nice and rosy and comfy, cozy are we. We've snuggled close together like 2 birds of a feather would be. Let's take that road before us and sing a chorus of 2. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
Songs from that 1958 Christmas album still come across the radio airwaves. And more recent ones too, like this 2013 song with Jim Brickman.
I'm sending you a little Christmas wrapped up with love. A little peace, a little light to remind you of how I'm waiting for you, praying for you. I wanted you to see. I'm sending you a little Christmas till you come home. Till you come home.
How do you feel about being tied to this holiday? I mean, hits can come and go, right? But every December, you know, there are several songs by you that people have to hear, that it becomes a part of them every single year. How special is that feeling for you?
It's the most wonderful time of the year. Yeah, I love it. I love to hear my music at Christmas time. It was a big deal, Christmas was. My parents made it such a wonderful, wonderful time of the year. And to hear my music at that time of the year, every year, for all, lo, these many years, is a blessing for me. But I love the stuff, for instance, that Nat King Cole recorded when I was a little kid. I used to listen to his Christmas music. And as long as I have that in my head when I sing, I'm happy with any of the Christmas songs over the years, yeah.
You turn 85 later this year. You could kind of put the... Sorry. But you could relax, right? Put the feet up or golf. I understand you love to golf. You could golf more. What keeps you going in performing? What inspires you to keep doing it musically?
I think more than anything, along the way, most of the people who have been important in my life have told me that I will want to sing all my life, whether I can or I can't. It doesn't matter. I'm going to want to sing. And to make sure that you can sing, you have to stay healthy. And so at a very early age, I started to listen to these people, and they made different suggestions how important exercise was to my singing. And the physical education and the musical education sort of melded, and I've been very, very fortunate in that respect. A lot of good things happen because in order to do what you do physically and musically, you have to be healthy. And I've been blessed in so many ways.
We had one last bit of fun with Johnny Mathis as he took part in the Fast Five. Here we go. First song you can remember hearing that you loved.
The first song that I remember hearing that I liked was sung by my dad, who was my best pal, and it's called Molly and Me and Baby Makes Three.
A smiling face, a fireplace, a cozy room, a little nest that's nestled where the roses bloom, just Molly and me and Baby Makes Three. Where happy am I? Blue heaven.
My dad, from the time I was 3-4 years old, sang. And that was the song that I remember vividly that he sang quite often.
Wonderful. How about the song that makes you feel the most nostalgic or reflective?
Most of the songs that I sang early on, I heard from the predominant singers, popular singers at the time I was growing up, and my favorites were Nat King Cole.
This love will last, though years may go, and then someday they may recall. We were not too young at all.
I think maybe my all-time favorite was Nat King Cole, but Ella Fitzgerald, Lena Horne, Sarah Vaughan. And that, to me, was the foundation of what kind of songs I wanted to sing and how I would sing them.
That's great. How about a go-to song that you have for dancing or a song that you hear and you can't sit still when you hear it?
let me see. Anything by Ray Charles.
Shake that thing all right now. Hey, hey. Hey, hey.
gonna send you back to Arkansas. Oh, yes, ma'am. You don't do right. Don't do right. Oh, playboy.
That's right. Anything by him is going to be good. Okay, this is a good one for you because you mentioned how you still like to work out and how much physical activity has helped you, you know, keep that voice. The song that makes you feel like working out or kind of motivates you to get through something.
I have a vivid imagination, and certain songs get me going physically. And I kind of lean towards opera singers because the physicality of their singing is very obvious and very evident. And whenever I hear a classical singer, people like Leontine Price. I'm ready to exercise, and not only exercise, but even try to sing along with him.
That's great. Okay, this is the last one. The song that lifts you up when you're feeling down.
The Christmas song, it's the most wonderful time of the year.
There'll be much mistletoeing, and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. It's the most wonderful time. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
When I hear that song, I know that Christmas is coming and everybody's in a good mood. I love it.
A couple quick notes as we conclude. The stay-at-home order in Los Angeles County, where Mathis resides, has been in place for about a month. I'm told he's doing well, still working out 5 days a week at home, watching his favorite films on Turner Classic Movies, and rehearsing his concert set lists. At this point, the Ohio shows in Dayton and Cincinnati are still on for August. While no streaming sessions are planned at this point, Mathis will be sharing some deep dive cuts from his catalog on social media in the near future. You can keep up with all the latest developments at johnnymathis.com and through his Facebook page. My thanks to Johnny Mathis for his time and his wonderful music. His voice has enriched my life in numerous ways, as I'm sure it has for you. I'm Mike Foley. Talk to you again on the next Music Journey.